Living water. John 7:37 to 39 is our text today. Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate, we remember the giving of the Holy Spirit coming to Jesus' followers, to all of those who trust in Jesus, as Jesus had promised that he would. Our text today, we heard the scripture reading, a description of some of the events of that day, that first Pentecost Sunday. But our scripture reading, or our text today here, is not from that event. It's from actually earlier, as Jesus was talking to people during a festival, teaching in Jerusalem. It was from that time, and something that Jesus said that John tells us was partly about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So in this, the setting for what Jesus said in our text today, he's with his followers, he's in Jerusalem for the Festival of Booths, which was a time remembering the exodus from Egypt, coming out of Egypt, living in tents, living on the move in a way. And so they were remembering that time, being in the wilderness. And so now, as that festival is going on, remembering that time, now Jesus is speaking and teaching, and he stands up and teaches on the most important day of that festival. That's where we get to in our text today. Our text is John 7, 37 to 39. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. John 7, 37 to 39. Reading in Jesus' name. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Father, as we consider these words this morning, these words of Jesus related to the Holy Spirit, to your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide us and help us to see what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And if any of the kids want to come up, I'll invite them to come up at this time. All right. Venez, venez. Bonjour les enfants, comment allez-vous? Vous allez bien? Vous allez bien? Vous me comprenez? Je voudrais vous parler de Jésus ce matin. Oui? What was I saying? Did you understand anything? No? No? Yeah, I was speaking French. You had the right guess over there. Yeah? What was that? Well, I was just welcoming you up to the front and telling you I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. How are you guys doing today? I also asked you that, but nobody answered. Good? Yeah? Did you hear in the scripture reading that we heard earlier that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, there were people from all over different countries that were in Jerusalem celebrating, and they could hear the disciples talking in different languages, in their own language. They could understand what they were saying. Do you think one of those languages was French? No, it probably wasn't, because French actually wasn't around yet at that time. There were other languages. It came around later.
There's only like 3 languages back then, but now there's about
3,000. There's more, yeah. Actually, there were quite a few then, but you're right. There are thousands of different languages. We learned today in both what we heard there and in what I just read that Jesus talked about, English is one of them. Yeah, we learn about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, what he does. Now, sometimes we hear in the Bible about people being filled with the Holy Spirit and kind of doing some pretty amazing things, like talking in another language or prophesying or speaking in a way they wouldn't normally be able to speak, all of those different things. We might find, though, as we hear what Jesus is talking about today, that being filled with the Holy Spirit is about more than just kind of some of those what look like amazing things. There's actually some more amazing things that we don't necessarily notice right away that has to do with the Holy Spirit being in us. But it's still amazing, even though it's not as apparent on the outside. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. So here's just the story of Pentecost there. They had some, it looked like flames coming down on their heads. Yes, you can pass them down. Do you want, here, why don't you guys split them and you can pass some out together. Let's see. I'll give you a couple here. Moses, would you hand some out too? I'll give you some another time. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. Make sure you get one, though. All right. Okay. Almost got them. You're getting there? Okay. In June of 2010, I stood at a construction site with two of my friends and a couple others. I was joining their framing crew. These two friends, they owned a framing business. They had done it with their dad for a long time, and they owned their own business there in Billings, Montana. They were building a house. They were doing the framing part of that. And so I joined on. I was doing some of that. There was a lot of new learning for me. I'd never used an air nailer before, so I was learning how to do that. Learning some other, you know, what were the particular things that we needed to be paying attention to on the plans, where different things were going, what we had to nail together and all of that, cutting certain lengths and things like that. A lot of things to do. And I had, along with... you know, some lunch. I had my water bottle with me because I knew, you know, it was going to be a hot day. I was going to need some water through the day. And so I was ready for that. But the day actually ended up being much hotter than I thought. You know, June is not normally that hot in Montana, but it can get pretty hot there. But it was about 100 degrees that day or close to it. And we're working outside and in the sun. And eventually, you know, at some point midway through the day, my water was gone. Especially by early afternoon, it was definitely long gone, and I was starting to get thirsty in that heat. I had, you know, the water bottle wasn't all that big. I had gone through it all, and finally, kind of mid-afternoon, my friend said, "Here, come with me." We got in his truck, we drove to a nearby gas station, we picked up some Gatorade, and just, you know, sat in some of the air conditioning and drank a little bit of that Gatorade, and that was very refreshing. Get some of that energy back and all of that. And the next day, I made sure to have a bigger water bottle, you know, cooler with a bigger, you know, bigger drink thermos full of water, so I would have enough for the whole day, for a hot day. You know, we know about being thirsty. I'm sure you've had experiences too where you're in a particular situation where you're thirsty. Maybe it is a hot day. Maybe you've been doing some work. Maybe you've been playing a sport. Maybe it's something outside where you're getting thirsty. You need water. You need to refresh yourself. We know about that. We know about physical thirst. We also, as we think about thirst and we think about what Jesus is talking about in what he said here, we also see some spiritual connections to thirst, and a way that we can talk about being spiritually thirsty. If we think about the context where Jesus is talking here to the people, they're remembering the nation of Israel being fresh out of Egypt. And of course, as they were out of Egypt, they were traveling through the desert. And they were out of Egypt, but they were out of water too. They often didn't have water to drink. They needed water. They were in the desert, in the wilderness. And they had, I mean, we don't really know what their supply of water was most of the time, where they got it most of the time. But we do know on several occasions, two different occasions, God gave them water that he miraculously brought out of a rock for them to drink. There was also another time where they had some bitter water that was not drinkable, and God made it drinkable for them. So there were different times where God gave them water miraculously to drink. Back in March, as we were going through some text in John, we heard the story read, and we considered the story of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus met there, as she needed physical water. She was going to the well to get water out of there, but we discovered that she needed much more than that. The Israelites also, as they were traveling through the wilderness, needed physical water, but they needed more than that. The lesson about water was more than just a lesson about water. It was about spiritual need, spiritual thirst, and how God would fulfill that. In Chad, as I travel there, we pray that will be happening again someday, before too long, as we think about the wells that are put in there. So when I travel over to Chad, I go to visit some of the wells that are being put in, new wells. And obviously, they're being put in because there's a need for physical water. They need water. Sometimes what they have is a supply of very dirty water. Sometimes it's water that is very sparse and scarce, and when it's not the rainy season. So they need to travel a ways for it, or it might not be readily available. And so when we put in a well that has fresh, clean water, it's very welcome to have it right there. They feel the need, and they feel the meeting of that need through that physical water. And as I travel there to those spots where there are new wells, it's an easy connection to make with them. They see the physical need for the water. And we can easily use the story of the woman at the well, talking to Jesus about another type of water. And so we can use that to share the gospel with them as well, to say there's more than just the physical water. And even though they might not be ready to hear the message that we have to give them about Jesus, they are ready to agree, yeah, it's more about, there's more than just physical thirst. There is spiritual thirst. They agree on that point, although the method of quenching that thirst they may disagree on. But there's a connection there, the physical need for water, and we see the spiritual thirst in our lives. Here again, as we hear Jesus standing up in the festival and announcing to people, we think about an offer for water, but not, just like with the woman, it's more than just physical water, or in this case, it's not really even physical water. There's something more than that. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." The offer is open to anyone who would come. And everyone needs it. Everyone has the thirst for God. What type of thirst is this? What type of drinking is this? We know it's not a physical thirst. It's a spiritual thirst. It's a thirst for life, a thirst for healing, a thirst for meaning in life, a thirst for friendship, a thirst for love, a thirst for a restoration of all the good things that God designed in this world. All of that is offered by Jesus to those who would come to Him. Come to me, He says, come to me and drink. The offer is there for all. But we also get the sense, because we might think, all right, we understand the physical, the spiritual need of thirst in this life, and we may say, yes, we need that. And in one sense, we do. We need the constant refreshing of the life from God, of the water, the spiritual water that comes from Him. But there's also a sense, and as we hear that here, as Jesus is talking about it, and also as He was talking to the woman about it, we get the sense also that this is kind of a one-time thing also. As we continue to hear Jesus' words, there is a sense in which coming to Jesus, believing in Him, trusting in Him, what we might talk about as being born again or conversion, if it's someone who comes to faith as an adult, especially that conversion time, coming to faith, coming to trust in Christ, there is a filling of this water. So there's a sense in which this is kind of a one-time thing there as well, where we are filled. If you believe in Him, you have this water. You have this water in you. He gives it to you. Maybe you have this. Maybe you enjoy it. Maybe there's some here that maybe you've heard about the water. You've been a part of a church or in different ways, and maybe you feel like maybe you don't have it. If that's the case, it's offered to you. It's easy to receive. Trust in Jesus and what He does for you. Receive it. I hope and pray and trust that all of us have received and receive this water from God, from Jesus. As we receive it, we are changed. That's what Jesus gets to then. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And this is part of what gives us the indication that this is a change that happens in us, that yes, we need a daily renewal and a refreshing, but there is a change that happens, and we have this water that quenches thirst. Living water, not only within us, for us, but flowing out Let's stop and just consider that for a moment. Stop and consider what that means, that this living water is within us and flowing out of us if we believe. What does that look like? When you're thirsty, especially if you're really thirsty, that's probably the only thing that you're thinking about. I need water. That's your focus. Now, maybe there's something that's more significant, maybe more dangerous, that is this threatening in the moment that you need to pay attention to. But if there isn't anything else, that thirst is going to take all of your attention. That's all of your focus. The life with thirst, the life of one who is thirsty and has not quenched that thirst, is a life looking out for yourself. You need that water. Not necessarily all the time. If we think about this in spiritual terms, we might not sense it all the time in every action of the life, but it's kind of the main thing that's there. If someone is thirsty for what Jesus has and has not received it and has not gotten that water, there's something about life that is missing. And even though it might not be the forefront of thought all the time, it's still there, a need to find purpose, to find meaning, to find life, to find healing, to find love. The need is there, even if it's not always in the forefront, but it's there. But when thirst is quenched, if you think about, if you've had that drink of water, if you're being refreshed, now life is okay. Life is okay, physically. Now you can think about, oh, is there somebody else that needs some water? Maybe I can help to get some water to them. When thirst is quenched, we can turn to others. We can live for others. We can help others quench their thirst. It's not always obvious, as we think about this in spiritual terms, it's not always obvious what somebody else's thirst might be. Especially as we live in a context where people can often have what they need for life and maybe even more, maybe even much more than what they need for daily life. And so physical needs aren't necessarily there. It might not always be apparent where the needs are. Where is the thirst? At first, we might not see much of a thirst. But we know, if we stop and think about it and think about God's Word, we know that there is a thirst there. Maybe we've experienced that type of thirst ourselves. Maybe we've seen it in others where we've gotten deep enough with others in their lives so that we can see this is where they are thirsty for God. This is where they are thirsty, what Jesus has to provide. And so sometimes in places where we might not see it yet, we know it's there. We know the thirst is there, and it might just take a little bit of digging, a little bit of listening, a little bit of getting to know them, and thirst can be found. Can you and I do that? Are we able to do that? Can we do that? Well, Jesus says if we come to Him, we receive the water, and it starts to flow out of us. The water is flowing out. It's there. It's God working in that. When that's the case, if it's happening, it reaches others on its own. As God is working through us, He starts that process, and we might not even always know how God is working through us to touch others, to spread the water to others. And if we open our eyes and look, we might see, oh, God is already doing this right here. And maybe He'll give us some wisdom on how we can act and interact with others. We think about maybe let's turn this around a little bit and think about the idea of refreshing. Think about someone that you know that is refreshing to others. Someone that you know that is a joy to be around, that builds others up, that encourages people to be like Jesus. Think about your interactions with that person. I think you would say, if you can think of that situation, you would probably say, when you come away from conversations with a person like that, you just feel a little bit more joyful, right? You feel a little bit more, maybe a little more thankful, a little more something, positive, right? I think most of us can probably think about somebody in our lives that has that effect on us. Well, the reality is that as the Holy Spirit works through us, that's the living water that we may not know how we're having an impact on others, but we have that impact as well as the water flows out of us. It's maybe more obvious from some people than others, but it is there for all of us. The water is shared almost naturally. You know, we might not even always be thinking about it, but as we are thinking about God's Word, as we are reflecting on who He is, He flows out of us. And we ask God to work that in us, that He would work in us to reach others. That's the invitation that Jesus gives. Come to me, those who are thirsty, I will give you water to drink, and those who believe in me, streams of living water will flow out, rivers of living water will flow out to others. John adds a little bit more of an explanation to this. He says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, to every one of the believers. And as we study the early church history in Acts, as we read the letters that are written to the early church, we find that the Holy Spirit, now not every church agrees with this exactly, but generally it's accepted to be true, that all those who believe in Christ receive the Holy Spirit and are given the Holy Spirit and have gifts of the Holy Spirit given to serve the church. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was active. We know that must be true because we really can't come to faith in God without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So anyone in the Old Testament trusting in God had the work of the Holy Spirit in them. But there's a different way in which we see God acting, the Holy Spirit acting and filling us in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we did not see the Holy Spirit filling each person in the same way, each believer in the same way that He does now. Sometimes people were filled with the Spirit, and we have descriptions of that. Maybe being guided by Him in a particular way, maybe speaking God's Word in a particular way. But the connection to God in the Old Testament was through the temple and through the worship that happened in the temple. That is where God had given to people to meet Him. But as Jesus came to earth, as He spent time with His followers teaching them and guiding them, and then when He left, He said there would be another who would be sent. Jesus spent His time teaching, being with God, being with humanity. The one who was to be sent, as John tells us, was waiting for Jesus to be glorified. What was the change? Why waiting for that? Well, before Jesus came, redemption for humanity had not yet been made. It was but pointed out, God had predicted it, but it hadn't happened yet. If word went out from Jerusalem, say from David's kingdom in the Old Testament, if word went out about God working, the story was incomplete. And so if people went to other countries talking about this, they would get part of the message, but not the whole thing. To get the whole thing, they needed to come back to Jerusalem. It was only part of the message. But after Jesus' time on earth, after His death and resurrection, the whole message is there. The story of God's grace for humanity is complete, just waiting for the end when God comes to take those who believe into heaven with Him. And so now the message can go out everywhere. We don't need to find out more about it to tell others about it. It's there, right in Jesus. It's a simple message. So the Holy Spirit comes and guides people to and overflows out of people telling this message. And this is really the point of the Holy Spirit. Now, we do see God working through spiritual gifts. And there's some, you know, conversation sometimes about what does that look like? Should we see speaking in tongues? Should we see miracles? Should we see these different things happening? Through the work of the Holy Spirit that are visually supernatural. So do we see that? And there are disagreements about how that much we should expect to see that in the church. But the reality is that that's not the main point. Because the working of the Holy Spirit in miraculous ways is often in ways we don't see. It's simply people sharing the love of God with others. We have different spiritual gifts to work together to do that. But that's what they are for. Work together with the purpose of sharing the message. The river of living water flowing out of us, caring for others, serving them. People are thirsty. People around us are thirsty. Even if we're not aware of the ways in which they are thirsty, they are thirsty. So we ask the question, have you received the water? Have you received the living water from Jesus? Maybe we can imagine, especially if you're thirsty at any particular time, you can think of drinking water to quench your thirst. Maybe you can just imagine and picture taking a drink of imaginary water, but thinking of that as spiritual water from Jesus, life. And we can thank God for the refreshment that that gives. And if we're trusting Him, if we've received that water, living water is flowing out from us. And we might ask the question, how do you see that in your life? What are some places where you see that God has been using you? That God has been, maybe you can point that out in others. Maybe we can see it in others more easily than in ourselves. Maybe we can encourage one another with that. I see the living water flowing out of you in this way. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to encourage one another? I see the living water flowing out of you in this way. We can reflect on how God is working through us. And as we think about this, we might have the idea, I would like the living water to flow out of me more. Now, we might do some things saying, I want to do this and this and this. That's great. But remember also, the living water flows out of us because it is the Holy Spirit working in us. And He does that. And so we can simply ask Him and say, as we did in the song leading up to the message here, asking Him to work through us, that His work through us would be visible. We can do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the living water. Thank You that You quench our spiritual thirst. We wait for the day when it will be fully quenched, when we will not have any thirst around us. There will be no more pain or sorrow, and we will be in eternity with You. We wait for that day, but in the meantime, we thank You for filling us with living water. We thank You for the water overflowing to others as well. We ask You to continue through Your Holy Spirit to work through us, that that water would be refreshing to those around us, within Your church and outside of it as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.